like to turn it over to Rick Wally. Rick Wally is the director of the Lobster Institute and a professor in the School of Marine Sciences. He's going to be talking about the work of the Lobster Institute.
Thank you, Josh. And thank you to the committee for making time for UMaine's Lobster Institute. It's an honor to have this chance to brief you on the university's specific activities on our state's signature fishery. So we're getting a little more granular here. My name's Rick Wally. I'm the director of UMaine's Lobster Institute, as Josh said, and I'm also a research professor in the School of Marine Sciences. I'm based at the University of Maine's Darling Marine Center in Walpole, and I do hope you get a chance to take the tour with Heather, because there's some great waterfront advancements that have taken place with the new pier and flowing seawater lab. I also live in Round Pond, right nearby on Muscongus Bay, and I serve on the Science and Technology Subcommittee of the Governor's Climate Council. It's really wonderful to see new faces on the committee here, two of whom are from my immediate local community on the Midcoast here. So I want to extend a special welcome and congratulations to Senator Maxman and Representative Kraft. For starters, let's just do a quick Maine Lobsters 101, sort of a lobsters by the number, and this numbers, and this is mainly for the newcomers on the committee. Over the past three decades, Maine's lobster production has soared more than fivefold, and in the past 5 years, it's become the most valuable single fishery in the U.S. and Canada by landed value. About 90% of the U.S. share comes from the Gulf of Maine, and about 80% of it comes from Maine alone. Lobster is also Maine's number one export commodity, and the landed value of this single product represents a full 1% of Maine's GDP, of all the products that Maine produces. And that's without the multipliers that come from all the other industries that depend on this fishery. But, you know, unlike the 1980s, when ground fish like cod really dominated our coastal fisheries, we now have a rather dangerous dependency on the American lobster. Fully 3/4 of our fishery value is from lobster alone. Any investor would call that a risky portfolio. The big questions here are, how long will this boom last, and what are the economic and social consequences of a large downturn? And more specifically, how does this fishery and our coastal economy adapt to a warming climate, the northward shift of suitable habitat for lobsters, declining bait supplies, offshore wind energy, the push for safe, whale-safe gear, global economic forces, and the latest challenge of all, the COVID-19 pandemic? The challenge is really to be resilient to the changing environment and find ways to coexist with offshore wind and energy and whales. So where does the Lobster Institute figure in? Well, the Institute's mission is to foster research and communication in support of a profitable and sustainable lobster fishery in the US and Canada. We reach across the border. And we do that by maximizing the engagement of UMaine faculty, students, and facilities with stakeholders in this fishery, again, on both sides of the border. And we do it also through meaningful workforce training opportunities. Because of our longstanding networks inside and outside the state, UMaine is in a unique position to address these opportunities through partnerships with key stakeholders. In the past five fiscal years, UMaine faculty have secured more than $3.5 million in federal, state, and private research grants for some 30 lobster-relevant projects, spanning topics from food sciences to physiology and from the macro to molecular scales. Maine has benefited from investments in lobster research from Sea Grant, you just heard about, and other NOAA agencies, the National Science Foundation, Maine Department of Marine Resources, as well as large investments from the fishing industry itself. For one example of one of our students, Andrew Good, is a young lobsterman from Booth Bay Harbor. He did his undergrad at UMaine, and he's now a doctoral student in oceanography in the School of Marine Sciences. With Sea Grant support, he and his advisor, Damian Brady, are modeling how lobster larval dispersal will change in a warming ocean. That may sound sort of academic to some of you, but for Andrew, the fisherman, this is a lot more than just an academic question. Increasingly warm summers have also been amplifying stress points in the lobster supply chain. With new support from NOAA's Saltonstall Kennedy program, the Lobster Institute is coordinating a multidisciplinary team in partnership with the Maine Lobster Dealers Association and the Maine Lobstermen's Association to monitor and mitigate these stress points. Our team has developed sort of a Fitbit for lobsters, a health monitor for lobsters that we can strap on a lobster, monitor its heart rate as it changes hands from trap to live tank to truck and to dealer down the line. Given the hundreds of millions of pounds of lobster landed, even a 1% improvement in survival can mean a lot to the bottom line here. Of course, the COVID-19 pandemic is the most recent challenge. Just as climate change is exposing weak points in the system, so too is the pandemic. For just one example, social distancing has made the workspace less productive on a per square foot basis in processing plants. In June, UMaine's John Belding, head of the UMaine Advanced Manufacturing Center, was awarded a Maine Technology Institute grant through the CARES Act to assess and redesign workspaces to make them safe and still efficient across a range of manufacturers and food processing plants in Maine, including seafood processing plants. And in food sciences, with a Lobster Institute fellowship, graduate student, international graduate student, Wen Shu He from China is working with Professor Mary Ellen Camere and the Maine Lobster Marketing Collaborative on how the national appetite for lobster products is changing. I could go on, but I'd prefer to take questions at this point or if we have time, or move on to the next speaker. But please do let me know if there's specific ways the Lobster Institute can serve the needs of the committee. Two quick takeaways I'd just like to make is that sustaining a strong lobster stock and working waterfront is at the core of what we do. We do it best through partnerships with our stakeholders. So I want to say thank you and pass the baton, unless there are questions and time, I'll pass the baton on to Dr. Debbie Bouchard, Director of the Aquaculture Research Institute and Director of the Sustainable Ecological Aquaculture Network, known as CNET.
Thank you. Before we move on, we do have a question. Representative Thorne?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't want to get too far down the road before we get away from these. Joshua, if you're still on, you had mentioned that there was a $21 million decrease projected for the lobster industry. And my question was, I guess, is the proposed PPP tax that it would cost the Maine lobsters included in that figure, or would that be on top of that figure?
Just wanted to be really clear, that $21 million decrease is a number from a new report that the National Marine Fisheries Service put out last week. and they are looking at landings through time over a 5-year, comparing it to a 5-year average. And what they're seeing is they were looking at nationally, but what they found is for the lobster fishery, not just in Maine, but in the Northeast, although most of the lobster fishery is in Maine, in the first 7 months, there was a $21 million decrease in lobster sales. Most of that happened in April and May. Commissioner Kelleher may have more specific data on how the lobster industry has done in the months since then, this fall and this winter. Can you repeat your question about the part of the question about PPP loans?
Yes, you would mention that there was a $21 million decrease in the lobster industry as a whole. And I didn't know if the governor's proposed taxing of the PPP, how much that affected the lobster industry, or if there were any numbers on that in addition to that $21 million, or if that was projected into that number.
I don't think I can answer the question about the PPP loans. There may be somebody else on this call who's better suited for that. I'd be happy to look into it, though, and get back to you.
Okay. And then I had a follow-up, if I may.
Representative, before you go on, I think that would be a question we could ask our analysts to capture, and perhaps the commissioner could respond when we see him next, and we will see him soon.
All right, may I ask a follow-up question?
Yes, Representative.
Or Rick Wally?
Yes.
You had mentioned, and everybody keeps mentioning the offshore wind. Do you see that offshore wind project, the one that the governor has now given us a 10-year curtailment on, is that a conflict of industry with the fishing industry, where the two seem to be obstacles to each other?
Representative Thorne, I can tell you that it is a big issue for the lobster industry. And there is concern about overlapping use of fishing, productive fishing ground. I know there have been hearings on this and information sessions for the industry. I think there is a general feeling among industry members that the process is moving too fast. So I think the willingness to slow things down is well taken. I think there's a lot of recognition of the need for alternative forms of energy and offshore wind. Finding strategies to coexist are going to be challenging, and they're going to take some time. And it's really important, especially to gather the baseline data before these installations go in, to understand how the fishery works and to understand the distribution and abundance of lobsters and other species on these grounds.
Thank you. I appreciate your input on that.
Yep.
Thank you, Dr. Wall. Let's move on.